gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Today's show is going to be so good I had to turn it up to 11 already on the amplifier.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, because you know why. Come on, you know why. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere.
With respect to those who formulated those legal decisions, I would say that that is going to be more of a decision for the Attorney General within the parameters of various laws, and I don't want to prejudge that.
Mama's right, once again. And you two, too.
Yeah, I was right, too.
Mm-hmm, I know. Yes, but the point is, this is
Stephanie Miller.
But yes, we've all been right, and all the naysayers were wrong thus far. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere to talk about it. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller, Representative Earl Blumenauer on the big show today. You know it's Earth Day.
Yes.
He is on the Select Committee of Energy Independence and Global Warming. He will tell us what the government is doing about all of that. And Jason Alexander, live in the studio to talk about the torture memoirs and whether there's going to be a Seinfeld movie and much more. Mm. So a big, big show. All right.
And will they talk about the torture memos in the Seinfeld movie?
Exactly. Will the Seinfeld movie be about torture memos entirely?
Will they waterboard Kramer?
Okay. Or Newman, perhaps.
Yeah.
All right.
Newman.
I'm just saying, we're not going to gloat all morning. However, we've been saying, just to hang on a second, that on this, the whole torture situation. So, and to me, we were just talking about this before the show. I don't think the president flip-flopped. I don't think the president personally flip-flopped on this. I think this is what, you know, we were saying this all along, that he has always said no one is above the law, and
right.
that he can't be seen as personally doing it. He's
right.
not personally doing it.
Right. And it's
he
the
has
province
stated
of
correctly,
the Justice Department.
Yes, legally, correctly, he has stated it's the province, and that's what we always said.
Yeah, but he gave the impression, and a lot of people were rightly upset, that he wasn't going to go after people in the Bush administration for this.
And he's not. the Attorney General.
Well, okay. What the meaning of is... You know, him or his administration, he gave that impression. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, now he gave the impression that he's going to be
I
looking
don't care
into it.
Either way.
Right.
Somebody sent me an email when the news broke yesterday. Overheard in Dick Cheney's house. Oh. Oh, S-bomb. All right. Just another. It's just going to be a big, long edition of Mama is Always Right. Julie from Seattle writes, Mama, in answer to those who say Stephanie Miller is a vain, self-absorbed celebrity who's indifferent to the feelings of little people, who says that? What?
Well,
I always bring up your...
truth hurts.
I always bring up your touching concern for former workers in the George Bush effigy industry, which is true. And this is another an example of, I think, listening to us in the White House. Mm-hmm. And Mama's Always Right. How many times have you asked your listeners, won't someone please think of the children of the people who make George Bush effigies? At both the Monday and Tuesday White House daily briefings, Press Secretary Gibbs was pressed for Hard Achievements Game by the president abroad. Gibbs replied that he and the president think not being greeted by angry rioters burning effigies of some lookalike of the American government is a big step forward.
Yeah.
Thank you, Julie. Robert Gibbs making an effigy joke, like that was an accident. I quote exactly, he said, is it in our national interest to have images going all over the world of thousands of protesters burning an effigy, some lookalike of the American government? I don't think that furthers our national interest. The president doesn't think that furthers our national interest.
Ooh, snap.
Thank you, Robert Gibbs. Thanks for listening. Love you. All right.
But he shook Hugo Chavez's hand. Disgusting.
All right, and then the Miss California controversy yesterday, just another edition of Mama is Right. Chris writes of children of gay couples. Staff, there is no evidence, because we had a right-wing caller yesterday that said the children of the gays
don't
do so well or something.
Whatever.
Turn into criminals
right-wing.
Or something.
Yes, they all
they
become criminals.
Into children of the corn.
Some
especially
some
in Iowa.
Children of the gay corn.
Yeah.
Some right-wing claptrap. Anyway, staff, there is no evidence, no study showing that children raised in same-sex partnership households are any worse off than their heterosexual counterpart. None.
What?
The American Psychological Association says this, and this is in quotations. In summary, there is no evidence to suggest that lesbian women or gay men are unfit to be parents or that psychological development among children of lesbian or women or gay men is compromised relative to that among offspring of heterosexual parents. Not a single study has found children of lesbian or gay parents to be disadvantaged in any significant respect relative to children of heterosexual parents. Indeed, the evidence to date suggests that some environments provided by lesbian and gay parents are as likely as those provided by heterosexual parents to support and enable children's psychological growth. Thanks for sticking up for us. Chris, you're welcome, Chris.
The facts of a liberal bias.
The American Psychological Association.
What the hell do they know about anything?
Thinking they know something about psychological issues. All right, let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story. The headline is, Mitt Romney says President Obama has failed in his early foreign policy test. This is the guy that failed to even get the Republican nomination. And then talking about the president that won in a landslide and now has a 65% approval rating. Just for those of you that wanted to have some frame of reference. Mitt Romney writes, at last week's Summit of the Americas, President Obama acquiesced to a 50-minute attack on America as terroristic, expansionistic, and interventionistic from Nicaraguan President Daniel Ortega. Meaning he sat there with the rest of the audience and listened.
Right, yeah.
That's how he acquiesced, I guess, as opposed to throwing vegetables of some sort. As world leaders, I guess, are supposed to. It's supposed to be a Gallagher concert when world leaders speak. Last week, even as American soldiers sacrificed blood in Afghanistan and Iraq to defend liberty, President Obama shrank from defending liberty here in the Americas.
What?
You mean he didn't blow up the whole room or something? But
apparently.
He was supposed to...
What
the hell is he talking
about? He's kind
of
an idiot, isn't he?
Yeah. In his first press interview as president, he confessed to Arabic television that America had dictated to other nations. No, Mr. President, America has fought to free other nations from dictators. Well, yes.
And we
also have sometimes dictated. See, two things can be true at once, Mitt.
Once again, nuance lost on the right.
Blow-drying has melted the part of his brain that can understand any sort of nuance double-pronged sort of idea.
Thing.
Mittens goes on to write, Iran, by the way, when they announced that they've enriched uranium, blah, blah, he said they will have changed the world's equation for peace and security. They will be capable of devastating Europe and America and annihilating Israel.
Whoa, hang on.
What? What? Israel has how many times as many nukes as Iran has?
Yeah.
What?
Well, since they don't have any, you can't even...
Yeah.
Calculate that. But, we don't even know that it's not civilian nuclear experimentation they're doing. Everyone assumes they're trying to make a bomb, but we don't know that yet.
Mittens once again says, and as with North Korea, the Obama administration chooses inaction as opposed to preemptively making Iran a parking lot, which would be much wiser, apparently. The leader of the free world has been a timid advocate of freedom at best, and bold action to blunt the advances of tyrants has been wholly lacking. Oh, we have more of Mittens' precious thoughts.
President Obama, I'm afraid you really let the dogs out on this one. You thought you were putting on the dog in your foreign trip, dogging America, but really you've screwed the pooch and barked up the wrong tree. Instead of the rough and ready Rottweiler that America actually is, you made the country out to be a spavined mangy chihuahua. You've managed to make us out to be Hugo Chavez's lapdog. You, sir, are a poodle, not a president. But the real problem is your dog, Bo. What kind of national dog is a Portuguese water dog? A little too foofy for a manly president with perfect hair like me. And look at his coat. How do you expect to garner respect for a presidential dog who obviously couldn't ride on top of a car without getting his poop all bunched up in his hair? Not like my dog, who is strong and presidential and knows how to poop downwind. I guess I'm the one to let the dogs out. Woof, 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 woof.
And finally, lawyers for Democrat Al Franken are asking the Minnesota Supreme Court to move quickly on Republican Norm Coleman's appeal of his election's lawsuit loss. Franken's lawyers asked in a motion filed yesterday that the high court order all briefs to be filed by May 4th and that hold oral arguments very shortly after that. I believe we have a documentary on this.
PBS documentary.
Yes, mm-hmm.
It's hardly PBS music, but that's okay. Good evening and welcome to the Frontline documentary, Coleman versus Franken, the early years. Long before the court cases contesting the recount in the 2008 Minnesota senatorial race had reached its present stage as an ongoing, self-sustaining, for-profit local industry. As a matter of fact, when the original plaintiffs were still alive and could actually attend court in person instead of by video from their hospital beds, where they would follow the action on life support. The pivotal event occurred in May of 2009 when ex-Senator Coleman finally fulfilled his threat to take his appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. Many saw it at the time as the last pathetic gasp of a sore-losing, illegitimate pretender to the vacant Senate seat, and anticipated a quick strike down and eventual vindication of Mr. Franken's claim to have won the election. Alas, it was not to be. By dint of the efforts of the majority of conservatives on the court, the case was handed back down to the Minnesota Supreme Court with instructions to resolve the matter in Mr. Coleman's favor. The Minnesota court, clearly steeled by their harsh northern environment, showed a remarkable strength of character and refused, ponging the case right back to the Supremes, who then promptly whacked it back in their faces. This set up a sort of standing wave of litigation growing more powerful with each oscillation until the forces it generated sucked in everything in its path. Lawyers, money, elections, even the participants. What is the outlook now? Well, advances in physics are putting us on the brink of creating a force field which, if all goes well, will be established around the Twin Cities, Washington axis, and hopefully will choke off the energy siphon, allowing oxygen and citizenship back into the atmosphere. We can only pray that we'll all be able to breathe once again without inhaling the breath of lawyers. This has been Frontline. Tune in next week when we examine the legacy of the religious right in James Dobson Exposed.
That's all for Stand-Up News. I'm here all week. Tell your friends and invite them if you like more Jim Ward. All wrong.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true, for which there's a tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
Apocryphal but phlegm.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
Thing going on.
Yes.
Yeah, and there'll be some new content there soon.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Oh, the headlines just make your heart sing this morning. Obama doesn't rule out charges over interrogation. What did Jim Ward just say to you whiners yesterday? He said...
Chill out, mother.
He's got this. I did hear Jonathan Turley last night say, you know, justice could, whatever, decline to prosecute, and
then they will, whatever.
Yeah. He was a little more eloquent than that.
I'm not quite as well spoken as Jonathan Turley. However, he said, and then it will be, you know, then Obama can avoid the blame if there aren't prosecutions. But like we've said all along, I would just say, wait a minute here, because I think that that's what I thought. Legally, we're too far down the road here. You know, when they admit to waterboarding, and waterboarding is unequivocally torture, and Eric Holder has said so, I don't know how you just go, not this one time, you know. Let's go to Tim and Madison on the breaking news on the torture situation. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I think it's a great day. It's about time that we actually, you know, maybe do a little legal torture for ourselves against, you know, Dick Cheney and President Bush on going ahead and allowing this to happen. They broke the Constitution. They broke the law, and it's about time that they get punished. And by the way, I don't like calling them Mitt Romney. I like calling them Twit Romney.
Yes, Twit is a good thank you. All right. This is what I said. That was my first instinct too. And I'm not a Jonathan Turley, but that's what I thought. Is, you know, to prosecute the people that followed orders. That's not where you want to. Me, I understand him saying we're not going to do that. So I don't. And I know people are saying, oh, this is a flip flop. I don't think it is. On the president's part. You tell me if you differ. 20 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Back with much more on the breaking news on the torture investigations as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Michael in L.A. on the breaking torture news. Hello, Michael.
Well, I think this is way more important than torture, and that's the Gonzalez-Harmon thing. I did my part yesterday by calling my representative, like everybody should, and saying, why isn't Gonzalez in chains right now? And Harmon isn't innocent in this either. But Gonzalez should be certainly be taken in by the Justice Department at this point.
Well,
he's
the torture czar. So first of all, that to me, that's first and foremost. But this is big news. May I have my breaking news music? President Obama left the door open yesterday, in case you hadn't heard, to prosecuting some U.S. officials who laid the legal groundwork for harsh interrogation of terrorism suspects during the Bush administration. Obama also said he would not necessarily oppose an effort to pursue a further accounting or investigation into Bush-era interrogation program that included waterboarding, yada, 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 yada. He did not rule out charges against those who wrote opinions justifying the methods used to capture terrorism suspect. With respect to those who formulated these legal decisions, I would say that is something more of a decision for the Attorney General within the parameters of various laws, and I don't want to prejudge that. I think there are a host of very complicated issues involved here. And by the way, so this has led to this whole discussion of does torture work? The point is, it's illegal.
Right.
You know, first of all, my answer would be no, and we'll talk about why as the show continues. But I thought he said, the most important thing yesterday.
The OLC memos that were released reflected, in my view, us losing our moral bearings. That's why I've discontinued those enhanced interrogation programs. For those who carried out some of these operations within the four corners of legal opinions or guidance that had been provided from the White House, I do not think it's appropriate for them to be prosecuted.
So, by the way, so Robert Gibbs was pressed on that this seemed like it was contradicting what Rahm Emanuel said, that the people who wrote the opinion shouldn't be prosecuted. He brushed aside questions whether the president had a change of heart. He said instead of referring to what anybody might have said, it's more important to refer to what the president said. So, you know, once again, it doesn't really matter what Rahm Emanuel said. The president of the United States yesterday, you know, said exactly. I mean, that is, Jim, isn't that part of what an investigation, you know, finds out? Were they ordered to write the opinions that way by whoever, Cheney or you know, that's exactly what Dianne Feinstein was talking about yesterday. Let's wait until we do the investigation.
But it is a bit of a contradiction.
Yeah, it is a bit of a contradiction, and I'm afraid that they're not on the same page over there, so it makes them seem a little...
disorganized.
Yeah, a little disorganized. I'm a little concerned about that.
Dianne Feinstein welcomed Obama's latest comments about a possible inquiry as a step forward. Mitch McChinless said, we're sort of interested to know what the policy or the position of the administration, because now it seems to be somewhat confusing. No, not that confusing, Mitch McChinless. Just tell Dick Cheney to lawyer up, my friend.
Yeah.
Lawyer up.
What's confusing is what happened to my upper lip. I don't know. I woke up and suddenly I didn't have one.
Mike in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I don't think Obama's flip-flopping. I think he's listening to the people, and I think that's a big difference here.
Well, in the end, Mike, frankly, I don't care. You know what I mean? It's like, this is what we've always said, is that it's not even necessarily just up to the president. Like Jim said, this is, legally, he is technically correct. This is for the Justice Department.
Right. Well,
but you're right, he's also smart politically, that he can't look like, with all the problems the country is facing, that this is what he's, you know, focusing on is prosecuting Bush administration officials.
But isn't that why we hired him? Because he would... because he said that he would listen to us. He wouldn't just bulldoze his way through.
Yeah, and like he said, Mike, we also can walk and chew gum at the same time. Because the Justice Department is investigating this doesn't mean that he clearly is moving forward on the economy and other things.
He also needs the CIA and the intelligence community. He can't be seen to be attacking them right out of the starting gate.
And I said yesterday I'd rather get the big apples, not the little bad apples. As they said about Abu Ghraib. 28 minutes after the hour, Representative Earl Blumenauer, we will get his take on the torture memos and Earth Day and global warming and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Sometimes it's good to be a freak.
Afraid?
A freak.
Oh. I was hoping that was about Dick Cheney. All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Everyone's all a Twitter this morning. Even people not Twittering about the news.
Including you and Beyonce.
Uh-huh. We will talk about that later in Tinsel Talk.
That's right.
We're such teases. Okay. So obviously, everybody's talking about the president leaving the door open for the prosecution of Bush administration officials for ordering torture. If only there was somebody that had something to do in the government. Well, yes, Chris, who is it?
From the Select Committee on Energy Independence and Global Warming, Representative Earl Blumenauer from the great state of Oregon.
Good morning, Congressman.
Happy Earth Day to you.
Happy Earth Day to you, too. Well, I got to get your take on the breaking news on the president's comments yesterday on torture.
What can we say? Where the things that are coming out are just horrific. Subjecting somebody to waterboarding several hundred times.
Yeah, that's how effective it is, huh?
And, well, A, how effective it is, and B, that it's talking about tortured logic, that that's not torture.
Mm-hmm.
It's really outrageous. I am pleased that we're starting to get the spotlight. It's actually worse, I think, than some people thought.
Yeah.
Having an opportunity to be able to move forward to hold some people accountable, I think, is absolutely essential.
Well, you know, Congressman, we were saying before the break that certainly people like you, and we're going to talk about that today on Earth Break or on Earth Day, are moving forward on other important issues facing the country. I think the president has been very smart politically on this, and I've said this, that I understand he can't be seen as looking backward exclusively and focusing on prosecuting Bush administration officials. But as he said, we can walk and chew gum at the same time, right? He's moving forward on a lot of fronts. This is the domain of the Justice Department.
Well, and you have people, for instance, somebody who is now a federal judge who may well have violated their professional responsibilities to help allow this program going forward. There are remedies to hold these folks accountable that doesn't require diverting the attention of the administration.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, this is, I've never seen anything like this. In 100 days, this administration is moving on more fronts than ever before, saving the economy to saving the planet to restoring our position in the world, dealing with health care, sometimes just as a committee member that deals with health and the environment and tax and whatnot. I tell you, it makes me dizzy. I am so pleased that we've got a team of grown-ups, men and women who I think we have confidence and respect in, and who are looking back on some of these instances with a very cold-eyed approach.
You know, Congressman Blumenauer, I think that, you know, I think you know my dad ran for vice president with Barry Goldwater in 64, but he was also a prosecutor at Nuremberg, and I think that the president was very smart yesterday in talking about a bipartisan panel. You know, that there, in my heart, I know that Republicans like my dad and Barry Goldwater would have stood up and said, this is wrong, that we are America and we don't torture, you know, and that's why this is important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you're speaking to, I think there are actually a significant number of Republicans of principle and conscience who've been squeezed out by the Bush delay, Rove agenda and political operatives. And I'm hopeful that we can be able to include them, and at some point their voice will be heard in Congress as well.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, did you see John Boehner on the Sunday on Stephanopoulos this past weekend?
Mercifully, I didn't. I was flying back to Washington.
I just wonder how people like you that have, you know, you've been an outspoken leader, of course, in Congress on global warming. How do you even... what's the word? Have a discussion with Mr. Boehner.
You can't.
When he says that cow flatulence is causing, I don't know. I don't even remember exactly. What I'm saying.
Yeah. I just left a meeting to join you on air with environmental leaders that are deeply concerned about some of the consequences in the four global warming that deal with the agriculture sector, particularly the huge agribusiness factory farms. I mean, this causes more global warming greenhouse gases than the transportation sector. And these are, by and large, come from huge, massive, subsidized factory farms.
Right.
But Boehner, you know, Boehner's the guy who was circulating information that somehow a cap and trade program would cost families $3,100 as a charge or a tax.
Mm-hmm.
When the author of the MIT study said, and I quote, that this analysis is wrong in so many ways that he didn't know where to begin.
First of all, I think he got a few digits wrong. I think it's $30 or something like that.
Yeah, it was 1/40th of the impact.
Yeah,
but it was willful. It was willful because they had been given the information. You know, John Boehner has famously said his people shouldn't be legislators. They should be communicators. Now, they're communicating false information.
Well, that's what I mean, Congressman. You know, he's not entitled to his own math and his own science. There is no dispute on the science and on the math behind this.
Ronald Reagan said you're not entitled to your own facts, even though you may have your own opinion.
Right.
I think John has sadly crossed the line, and to the discredit of the Republican Party and the Republicans in Congress. I hope they don't get away with it.
What now? So, Congressman, what are we getting done on global warming? What do you see happening?
Part of it is just going on throughout the country. We have over 900 cities that said they weren't waiting for the Bush administration. They're moving ahead to reduce greenhouse gases, including my own hometown of Portland, Oregon, which has reduced per capita greenhouse gases four consecutive years. We're almost Kyoto compliant. We've got churches.
Portland rocks, by the way, in every possible way.
Well, we're working on this environmental thing in ways that I'm proud. And it shows that if it can be done in a, sort of a left coast rainy place like Portland, it can happen anywhere.
Right. Absolutely. Go ahead.
But we've got hearings now that are taking place in the Commerce and Energy Committee. Speaker Pelosi has impaneled this select committee on global warming that I serve on that's had over 60 hearings and moving forward. We're doing it on Ways and Means. The speaker has already decreed that the House of Representatives is going to reduce its carbon footprint. It's really exciting working with and lots of energy pieces were in the economic recovery package that are saving energy and improving transportation all over the country. Things happening now. It's going to be a tough fight for climate change legislation, but luckily the rest of America is not waiting. Business, labor, environmental groups, local government, churches and campuses are moving on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say it inspires confidence right away that people like you and Barbara Boxer are in charge of doing something about climate change and not James Inhofe and John Boehner, who don't believe it's actually happening. So
it was embarrassing last night. I led an hour discussion on C-SPAN. Immediately before us were Republicans, including, you remember, Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, dear.
Talked herself out of a congressional seat. She was there saying that carbon dioxide couldn't be a problem because it occurred naturally in nature.
Oh, dear.
Well, mercury is a natural substance in nature, but too much of it in the wrong place can kill or permanently retard children.
Yeah. Arsenic is the same way.
Yes. Trust me, I was a former victim of mercury poisoning.
Oh,
I know. Yes, I know.
Volcanoes are natural.
And that's why they don't need to be monitored. Because
amen to that.
Yeah.
There you go.
You guys are good.
Oh, not as good as you. Representative Earl Blumenauer from the great state of Oregon, thanks so much for taking time for us, and happy Earth Day.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Same to you.
There he goes. Oh, thank God he didn't bring up those bikes.
The bicycle that you stole.
Yikes.
In Denver.
I did not technically steal the bicycle.
You got drunk and left it somewhere.
Okay. All right. I was trying to do my part for the Earth. I had to go to the stadium to watch the Obama speech, and he was doing the green thing. And
then you passed out in the pool of your own sick and didn't remember. But then
I rode the bike back. The place was closed. It was too late. All right. Listen, let's not look back. Let's go forward.
Okay.
All right. There's no point prosecuting things that happened in the past. Let's just move forward. Didn't someone make the point that, all crime happened in the past?
Yes.
You can't prosecute something that hasn't happened yet. All right. 42.
Except in Minority Report.
Exactly. 42 minutes after the hour. All right. Back with all the latest on the torture story. Does torture work?
Computer says no.
The point is, it doesn't matter. We'll be back with all that and much more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Matthew Duss from the Center for American Progress coming up on the Celebrity Hotline.
Yes, he's a security policy expert for them.
To talk about the torture investigations and much more. He's an expert.
He is an
expert. The whole thing.
Absolutely.
So there. All right, let's go to Hunter in Ann Arbor. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on torture. Hi, Hunter.
Hi there. First of all, I'd like to decry the decision of my local affiliate to dump all Jones and Air America programming. Mm. I've listened to you out of Detroit now, a lot further away and scratchier. But anyway.
Still good, though even scratchy.
We still love our Detroit affiliate.
All right, go ahead, Hunter.
Oh, I do, too. It's a great station. I wish it were closer. As far as what Obama said, I hope people will not just view this as an opportunity to sit back and relax. We need to put the pressure on the Attorney General's office and our elected officials to keep this investigation going, because Obama may have just said what he said to sort of sweep the issue under the rug a little bit. So it's a possibility there. So we need to keep popular
pressure. Yeah, no, Jonathan Turley raised that specter that, you know, then the president avoid blame if the Justice Department at some point says, we can't go forward. So I agree with you.
Yeah, and the Attorney General serves at the pleasure of the president, so he can't also pass the buck that much, too. I mean, ultimately, it's his responsibility.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Buddy.
Hey, happy Earth Day.
Thank you, baby.
Hey, two things. Number one is now it's coming out that some of this torture was done to poor SOBs when we were trying to make a link between Iraq and 9/11. You know,
right.
Beat them until they give us what they want. You know, and your dad prosecuted people at Nuremberg for stuff like that.
Yep, absolutely. Here's my favorite headline today. Andrew Sullivan, is Cheney panicking?
You know he is.
Yeah.
Can I have my fine American music? Love me some Andrew Sullivan. He writes in The Atlantic, the one thing you saw most plainly in the Plame affair is how obsessed Dick Cheney is with public image, the chattering glasses and spinning stories that might reflect poorly on him. Andrew Sullivan called this, remember, in a column a couple weeks ago. Cheney is panicking.
Yep.
This is why he, and sure enough, there he was, like a shot, the minute these memos were released. Andrew writes, the attempt to institutionalize the torture of first resort into an entire program of black sites, torture manuals, Orwellian euphemisms and legal fantasy was bound, like the institutionalization of Gitmo, to collapse under any successor who actually wanted to return the U.S. to the rule of law and the world of civilized nations. Did Cheney believe he could hide all this forever? Did he believe that hundreds of randomly seized human beings could be consigned to the black hole of Gitmo forever? And was he really going to launch this kind of appalling attacks on his successors whenever they tried to move past this stuff or be forced by the law itself and the Geneva Conventions to investigate and prosecute violations of core human rights? He's lashing out now and using his surrogates to write chilling op-eds defending all of it. I see this as a sign of weakness, not strength. Obama draws these people out like moths to the flame. The flame is the truth. Let us see it all.
What's he going to do when he can't come up with these things that prove that torture worked?
Yeah, well, I know. And then Dick Cheney, I'm sorry, I buried the lead, although it's not really a lead that Dick Cheney got caught in another lie. He just said on Hannity's show, I asked them to release the memos that showed how it worked. The CIA
says no.
No, he didn't. He didn't ask anything to be declassified. The president yesterday. President Obama yesterday.
I do worry about this getting so politicized that we cannot function effectively, and it hampers our ability to carry out critical national operations. So if and when there needs to be a further accounting of what took place during this period, I think for Congress to examine ways that it can be done in a bipartisan fashion, outside of the typical hearing process that can sometimes break down and break it entirely along party lines, to the extent that there are independent participants who are above reproach and have credibility, that would probably be a more sensible approach to take. I'm not suggesting that that should be done, but I'm saying if you've got a choice, I think it's very important for the American people to feel as if this is not being dealt with to provide one side or another political advantage, but rather is being done in order to learn some lessons so that we move forward.
Yeah, but if you have a bipartisan investigation, the Republicans will just shut it down.
Here's why the president is smart, not just a smart lawyer, but a smart politician. The latest polls show Americans are split on long partisan lines about torture investigations. So, I think he's very smart to not make this look like this is a partisan, you know, witch hunt against the Bush administration. But the other thing I was thinking, these polls were taken before all these memos came out. So I'd be interested to see, and this is what they've always said, no one's above the law. And the more evidence I think fair people see on either side of the aisle, you're going to say as an American, we got to stand up. The poll, 38%, that was a Gallup poll 2.5 months ago. 38% favored a criminal investigation. 24% favored an investigation by an independent panel that would issue a report but wouldn't seek criminal charges. 34% opposed both criminal and an independent panel investigation. Both surveys found a partisan split, with Democrats generally calling for investigations, Republicans mostly opposed. So,
a surprise.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you can't tell me, look at McCain. There are people like my dad in Goldwater that I would think, again, the more evidence that comes out, fair-minded people would say this is not American. The president yesterday.
To the extent that there are independent participants who are above reproach and have credibility, that would probably be a more sensible approach to take.
All right. Nancy in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Nance.
Hi, Steph. I'm thinking that right after President Bush signed the law that banned torture, he signed a signing statement that would protect him from prosecution.
President Bush?
Yes.
You're talking about? Well, right. I don't. Look, he signed how many hundreds of signing statements did he sign? You know, so I don't.
But then Obama can undo those signing statements.
Oh, he can?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he can issue his own signing statement saying that signing statement, you know, doesn't exist anymore.
I raise you.
Which is an insane way to conduct government business, by the way.
All right. Irv in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Seth. Welcome. You know what? I guess one of the things that bugs me the most about all this rhetoric is that when you look at all the oaths of office from the president on down, Congress people, the Senate, it's to protect, preserve, and defend the Constitution of the United States. It's not about keeping us safe or fixing the economy or health care or any of that stuff. And every one of these Congress people and the president, it's like they really don't, in my mind, they don't have a choice. The Constitution's been broken, I don't know how many dozens of times with the Bush administration. We have to prosecute. We have to hold these people accountable. That's our prime
directive. Well, you know, I said that from day one, Irv. I said it's really not up to the president. So, you know, not only is it smart politically that he's not seen as on some personal crusade, but you're absolutely right. It is in our Constitution. That's what I've said this over and over, that if we don't do this, the world is going to, what do you think Nuremberg was? You know, the world is going to hold you accountable at some point. Let's go to Bill in Wisconsin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Bill.
Yeah, good morning. I'm one of the evil conservatives.
Welcome to my underground lair.
Thank you. You make it so easy for me to be conservative. I
good.
Have a question regarding...
Glad I can help.
Regarding the collapse of the economy, the interest on the debt... that's the cost to rent. The money will be $94 million a day. The deficits are going to be $4.4
trillion. Are you trying to distract attention from the war criminals that populated the Bush administration today?
There are no war criminals, but we protect ourselves from people who are trying to kill us. Is that what you're talking about?
Ah, I see. But it's illegal, so that makes one a war criminal.
And it doesn't work.
So torture doesn't work. Is that what you said?
That's right.
Yes.
Exactly.
So, well, why did they black out all the information that told us all the good information that we got from these people as a result of waterboarding, et cetera? And by the way, that's not torture.
Well, have you seen it?
Waterboarding is most certainly torture.
Waterboarding is not torture?
We executed a guy in World War II for doing it to us.
Waterboarding is not torture.
We executed a guy for doing it to us during World War II.
Why? Because you say so?
We executed a guy for waterboarding our guys during World War II. I'll say it again if it doesn't sink in. Why did we execute him if it wasn't torture?
Let me repeat this to you. The information that was blacked out was all the information that helped us save a bunch of lives. That is not.
How do you know? It's blacked out.
I see, because you have special X-ray vision that can see through redactions.
No, the redactions were blacked out because the administration didn't want us to see. Why would they cover that kind of information and restrict it from our seeing it?
So it had to be true if they were restricting us from seeing it. That's the only logical.
He has 3D glasses. That's how he knows that. Okay.
Neato.
57 minutes after the hour. An administration official, did he really say some techniques worked? We'll find out when we come back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Matthew Duss from the Center for American Progress on the whole breaking torture news.
He's their security guy, so he knows a little something about what's going on with the torture memos.
Yes, an actor and comedian extraordinaire. Jason Alexander live in the studio with us next hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice of deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. That's right, the breaking news in case you... In case you haven't heard yet, Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary yesterday.
And the president believes that nobody in the country is above the rule of law.
Oh. All right. I've been excited all night ever since the news broke yesterday. And so has Tim, who wants to ask about one of my fabulous sponsors, Stamps.com. My love.
We love Stamps.com.
Steph, you mean all I have to do is click on Stamps.com to enter Stephanie? Oh, howdy do. That's right.
Computer says yes.
That's right, Tim. All you have to do... I think he misunderstood, but... Anyway, go to Stamps.com and enter Mama, won't you? Okay. What?
They're a valuable service.
Yes, they are. They help Stephanie Miller International in a myriad magical ways.
How can you be a small business if you're Stephanie Miller International? That sounds to me like a contradiction.
I'm trying to make fluff myself up.
Am I pulling back the curtain here?
Yes. Okay. All right. Lori writes, I believe we're going to talk about the Miss California next. She's been all over the place trying to defend herself on her anti-gay marriage comments. She calls it an opposite marriage.
Yeah.
What?
She was a little inarticulate.
Opposite land marriage. Lori writes, Steph, can we start referring to men and women as the other gender instead of the opposite gender? We aren't opposite. We're more alike than different, right? Only a few parts are different, while about a gazillion parts are the same. For example, most of Sean Hannity and Man Coulter's parts are the same, while only Coulter's pronounced Adam's apple and penis differ from Hannity, who has neither. And he uses hand lotion. Lori, with some important gender differences.
The smell of Jergens.
Is that spelled with a K?
All right, can I have my fine American music, please? Oh, it's America again. Press Secretary Robert Gibbs said President Obama feels the same way he always has. He wants to move forward, but decisions about whether to prosecute Bush administration officials over alleged torture belong with legal experts in the Justice Department. See, he knows that, Jim, because he's a lawyer.
Oh.
And Gibbs, like his boss, deferred to Congress about whether to set up a 9/11-style commission to investigate torture. His general posture is to look forward. At the same time, nobody is above the law, which is the same thing he's always said. Mitch McChinless fired a warning shot at the White House. He noted Obama's pledge to look forward and said he wished the White House would focus on policies that keep us safe rather than dwell on the past. Well, you can do both, Mitch McConnell. You know, you can stand up for American values.
They're not unrelated.
Yes.
Part of the reason we were hated in the world is because of things we did in the past.
Yes, that would be part of reclaiming
America
again.
For example, the Nuremberg trials. Uh-huh. We were talking about things that had been done in the past to make sure they didn't happen again.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's helpful to know what happened in the past.
Mitch McChinless says the position of the administration now seems to be somewhat confusing. No, not confusing. Your buddy Dick Cheney's going to jail, my friend. You have Mitch McChinless?
Yes, I do.
There he is.
The president's chief of staff just said on Sunday on one of the Sunday shows that we were going to look forward and not backward. The president's apparent contradiction today is a bit surprising. And we're sort of interested to know what is the policy or the position of the administration, because now it seems to be somewhat confusing.
Only an idiot can be confused by that.
No, not confusing for many of us. Would you have given anything in the world to see the look on Dick Cheney's face when he heard this yesterday. Oh, by the way, what's today? Oh, it's Wednesday, so Dick Cheney got caught in another lie.
Oh, really?
As you recall, he was on Hannity.
We had to collect good first-rate intelligence mm-hmm. about what was going on uh-huh. so we could prepare and defend against it. And that's what we did. Mm-hmm. We, with the intelligence programs, the terror surveillance program, as well as the interrogation program, we set out to collect that kind of intelligence. It worked. It's been enormously valuable in terms of saving lives,
really?
Preventing another mass casualty attack against the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said that that's in those memos that he asked them to release, and he doesn't know where the memos are that prove that.
Lie. Mm-hmm. Why must you be such a fat liar?
The Obama administration denied that Dick Cheney has directly asked the CIA to declassify memos he claims would vindicate Bush-era techniques for harsh interrogation. A senior U.S. intelligence official emailed the agency has received no such request from the former vice president.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
And also, Jim, it seems to me that that would be beside the point legally.
Yes.
In any case.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that Randy, my trucker friend in Madison, is the smartest boy in class this morning because Randy says we have soldiers in jail for torture, don't we, Randy?
Yeah, we do. We have soldiers in jail, and they're put on a higher test than everybody else is, because if they don't obey an order, they can be charged with treason. These guys can lose their job if they don't obey that order. Big whoop.
Right. But, Randy, you raise a good point. How is it that we have soldiers in jail from what happened in Abu Ghraib if that was not illegal what they did?
Exactly. That's been the point all along. We've got to hold these people just as accountable. I don't care if they work for the CIA or who they work for.
I mean, this whole deck of cards, you know what I mean? It's just dominoes falling, isn't it? Everything the Bush administration tried to claim, oh, those were bad apples, and what they did was illegal,
yes,
so they're in prison now.
Yes, but what we did was completely different.
So
it
now
saved
the,
us from...
Right, the memos are out. They ordered this.
It
so how
came
can
from
you
the
now,
top.
How can you now say, oh, well, Lindy England belongs in jail, but not Dick Cheney? All right, Adrian in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing today,
good.
Ma'am?
Good, sir.
Good, thank you. I wanted to just point out a difference real quick. You had brought up the Japanese man that was executed during World War II for waterboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a little bit of a difference from what happened there and what's going on now. The effects and how they conducted the waterboarding, there was submersion involved, water in the lungs, blacking out, things of that nature.
And ours is the nice kind, like a water slide?
That's not what I'm saying, ma'am.
Okay.
That's not what I'm saying, ma'am. Uh-huh. What I'm saying is these are facts. The one that we're doing now, you know, they're subjected to water for up to 20 seconds. And the other thing is, I'm sure you guys are aware that, you know, the type that's going on now is conducting, they do the same thing in POW training.
Yes, we know that. It still doesn't make it legal. Waterboarding is illegal.
Here's the thing. They had lawyers that said it was.
They obviously told the lawyers, this is what we want to do, so write a memo that makes that legal. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yep.
All right. The president.
I wake up every day thinking about how to keep the American people safe. And I go to bed every night worrying about keeping the American people safe.
Yeah, we can still, once again, keep people safe and do it legally. Robert Gibbs,
you know, we've had at least 2-year policy disagreement with the Vice President of the United States of America. That policy disagreement is whether or not you can uphold the values in which this country was founded at the same time that you protect the citizens that live in that country.
Thank you. Ron in Charlottesville, Virginia on torture. Hi, Ron.
Hi, this goes right off of what you just played from Robert Gibbs. 2 points regarding torture. Number one, even if they gained valuable information from the waterboarding, that does not make the point that waterboarding is what got the information. They mm-hmm. could have gotten it from other means.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, there are thieves in countries who have their hands cut off. Do they steal again? No, they do not. So it's an effective method, but it's not what we practice in a civilized society.
Yep. All right. Good point. Let's go to Sue in Rockville, Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Sue.
Hey, good morning, Steph. Hi, Moon.
Good morning.
You know, my father and mom, my parents are Holocaust survivors, and my dad went back to Germany twice in the early 60s to testify against flunkies who were just following orders. And everyone needs to be held accountable. And your caller before who said, you know, you have to keep vigilant. We need to be emailing the Justice Department and tell Eric Holder we want a special prosecutor. We need to watch that, you know, to do that. And just for anybody who thinks that torture tries to tease out or nuance what kind of waterboarding and what kind of torture, I don't think I've heard more unpatriotic remarks from anybody. Mm-hmm. It is un-American to torture. There's no negotiation here. This is something that's black and white. There's a rule of law. We are better than that. And all these people who are trying to say the amount of water or where it is or what it is, I guarantee they couldn't last 5 minutes living a day my parents lived for 6 years.
Yep, good point, Sue. Thank you. The Associated Press story today on the torture debate, does torture work? Secret Justice Department memos do little to actually resolve the question. Well, again, many of us believe that is beside the point. They note that nonviolent tactics more often were more successful than violence. That's what somebody brought up earlier. In some ways, it's almost impossible to tell what you got from what. Mm-hmm. The point is, it's illegal, and we're America, and we don't do it. In 2006, just if you want some fun facts, anything about torture can be fun. In 2006, a group of scientists and retired intelligence officers set out to settle the matter. They sought to find the most effective interrogation tactics and advise the U.S. government on their use. Their conclusion laid out in a 372-page report, argued against harsh interrogation. The scientific community has never established that coercive interrogation methods are an effective means of obtaining reliable intelligence information, a former military interrogation instructor and retired Air Force colonel wrote in the report. In essence, there seems to be unsubstantiated assumption that compliance carries the same connotation as meaningful cooperation. In short, slam someone up against a wall, keep him awake for days, lock him naked in a cell, and slap his face enough, and he'll probably say something. That doesn't necessarily make it true.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
National Intelligence Director Dennis Blair, this is the other breaking news this morning, Obama's top intelligence advisor, told intelligence personnel in a letter the same day the memos were released that high-value information came from interrogation in which those methods were used. In a statement issued Tuesday night, Blair backed away from what appeared to be an endorsement of the technique's effectiveness. He then said the information gained from these techniques was valuable in some instances, but there is no way of knowing whether the same information could have been obtained through other means. The bottom line is these techniques have hurt our image around the world. Yep. The damage they have done to our interests far outweighed whatever benefit they gave us, and they are not essential to our national security. A political scientist who studies torture said when the data comes in, it's usually just incredibly embarrassing. I think we're also talking about the number of times. If waterboarding is so effective, why did you have to do it to a guy 183 times in 1 month?
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of the 94 terrorist suspects in the CIA program, only 28 were subjected to enhanced methods, the document said. That means 2 out of 3 detainees gave up valuable intelligence in simple interviews. The expert said, you keep thinking maybe one more time, explaining how interrogators ramp up their methods even as their effectiveness wanes. So, you know, to me, Senator Jack Reed, Democrat of Rhode Island.
And I don't think they should be given, there should be a sort of carte blanche sort of reprieve for those who design the policies, who supervise the policies.
Spencer, my right-wing love muffin in Lansing, says torture works. Hi, Spencer.
Don't misquote me, Steph. I didn't say torture worked. I said I've been involved in specific interrogation techniques in the U.S. Army.
Uh-huh.
I'm just getting out here in about 2 weeks. But to be quite honest with you, it kind of baffles me to the fact that the hindsight's 20/20. You know, hindsight's better than foresight. The same people who tell you not to do that, as soon as we get attacked again, will ask you why you didn't do something to get information to keep this stuff from happening. So I think, you know...
Right, but Spencer, did you just... Right, but did you just listen to... This is a report. It's not just me talking about it. It's experts saying that it doesn't work.
Sure, they're experts because they know about it, but they haven't been involved in it.
Yes, they have. This is former interrogators and military officials that did this report.
Right, and his first report was what? He said he got pertinent information out of a majority of the people. Then he backed off. Why? Because he probably doesn't want to be pulled into...
It was just background information on Al-Qaeda that could have been obtained through other means.
Right.
It wasn't anything specific about specific potential attacks on the United States.
We don't know that yet, do we?
According to the report.
Yeah.
That's the report. It's
all
in
right.
the report.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour.
We don't know that the report actually exists.
Mm-hmm.
Have you held it in your hands? Well, then we don't know it exists. It's kind of like Obama's birth certificate.
Yeah.
Okay. Republicans seem confused about the whole torture situation. We will tell you. We'll clear things up for them as we continue. 20 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my, how ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jim in Minneapolis, who is being tortured by Norm Coleman as we speak. Hi, Jim.
Hi, good morning. Boy, not only him, but Michelle Bachmann. What an embarrassment.
Yikes.
Well, can they outlaw this kind of torture? I mean, this guy did not want these votes counted. When the recount started, he could care less about enfranchising voters. Now all of a sudden, he cares.
Yes, maybe this case will eventually go to the it'll eventually go to the Hague. I don't know if the Geneva Convention implies, but how long can Norm Coleman make this torture go on? I don't know.
God.
All right, Ari Fleischer on the Situation Room on the torture memo.
The Vice President has raised very important issues here because the President of the United States has authorized the release of top secret documents that selectively make a case to benefit the Obama administration now and its views about what should happen. In contradiction, interestingly, to what Bill Clinton's CIA director said should happen, who also was George Bush's CIA director, George Tenet objected to the release of those documents. Obama released them anyway. So Dick Cheney raises some very interesting issues. Should then the American people have a right to learn what good did come of these aggressive techniques? The answer should be yes.
The sunny side of torture.
Right.
Shouldn't we know about all that?
Let's not tell them the bad stuff. Let's show them the good things that happened. Flowers.
Wow. First of all, this information was already public. And half of these Bush administration, hey, they've admitted to it already.
That's right.
It's top secret.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Let's go to
a load of crap.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mark in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, sir.
When we talk about the grave threat of terrorists, we really need to think about it in terms of when it was really a grave threat, and that's the Revolutionary War and the Civil War.
Uh-huh.
The Revolutionary War, George Washington declared that there would be no torture of anybody captured, even as the British and the German mercenary Hessians were torturing brutally our patriots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln was the first to actually codify our value, our American value, that we do not torture. And that codification was the basis for the 1929 Geneva Convention's original worldwide denunciation.
Yeah. Mark, what do you think Lincoln would think of the Party of Lincoln these days?
I think he would be turning over, maybe even spinning in his grave.
Spinning at a velocity heretofore unseen.
Was Abraham Lincoln a commie-coddling terrorist lover?
Katie in Hudson, Massachusetts on torture. Hey, Katie, go ahead.
Hey, Steph. Listen, I wanted to respond to that guy who said we have lawyers to decide these kinds of things. Thankfully, our judicial system is based on not lawyers' opinions, but the adjudication of the laws by a judge who's presented evidence. And that is true whether it's torture or whether it's surveillance or whatever. And we only debase ourselves when we ignore our basic principle of unusual and cruel,
cruel and unusual punishment. Yep.
Exactly.
Yep, absolutely. All right. 28 minutes after the hour. Hey, how's about we talk to an expert?
Yes.
Matthew Duss of the Center for American Progress with all the latest on the breaking torture news as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Naughty girl.
That's me.
You dirty hustler.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. News breaking left and right this morning. For instance, I wonder if Republican Senator Chuck Grassley will apologize at any point today for saying that bankers should kill themselves.
Yeah.
The CFO of Freddie Mac was found hanged in his home today, I believe, early this morning.
This morning. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Breaking news, too, according to CBS News, John McCain, who seems to know a thing or two about torture, said...
Well, in 2007, he reminded people that some Japanese were tried and hanged for torturing American prisoners during World War II with techniques that included
waterboarding.
Yeah, in fact, And that's from CBS News. That's not from some, you know, wacko. Yeah.
I found the names of some of them. Apparently, Yukio Asano was sentenced to 15 years hard labor after being convicted for war crimes after waterboarding people. Lieutenant Colonel Sumida in Singapore was sentenced to hang along with six others. So three of them ended up getting sentences from 8 to 15 years, but it looks like four Japanese were hanged in connection with waterboarding. Mm. So there's that.
All right. So lots of breaking news. If only there was some sort of expert that could advise us what's next on this whole torture controversy. Yeah, what? Who is it, Chris?
It's the security policy expert for the Center for American Progress, Matthew Duss.
He sounds fancy.
Yes.
Good morning, Matthew.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on with us. So give us your initial reaction to all this. This is a pretty big news yesterday.
Right. I mean, in reference to the Senate Armed Services Committee report, I think we have definitive proof now that the techniques used in Abu Ghraib were the result of you know, approval from at the very high levels of the Pentagon. So.
Right. Right. So, you know, Matthew, what does this mean legally? Because obviously you're more of an expert in this area than I am. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, it's really hard to disentangle the legal questions from the political questions here.
Mm-hmm,
but legally,
mm-hmm.
I think it's obvious that some of these people are in legal jeopardy. What will happen next, I think, is really the question. But as I said, I mean, it depends on how much of his political, you know, capital and attention the president wants to spend on this.
Well, Matthew, I was saying earlier, and tell me if you agree, I think the president's being smart legally and politically on this. I've always said that I think he can't look like, you know, this is a personal vendetta for him or he's focusing on this when the country has so many problems. But I think, as he correctly stated legally, this is the domain of the Justice Department.
I think that's true. But I also would say I think it should be the domain of Congress as well.
Well, he also said that, but I think he was also smart politically, don't you, Matthew, in saying
yes.
This should be bipartisan as a way of saying, look, you know, are these American values or not?
Yes, I think that's quite right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Dianne Feinstein obviously said this was a positive move, she thought.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me, this is going to, because the other thing is, you know, in our news cycles, people are like, oh, when's this going to happen? I mean, this is going to take several months for Dianne, for her committee, correct?
Yes, and as it should. I mean, I think there's kind of a thirst I see for you know, answers and retribution and let's get this done. But really, I think we can apply what President Obama said in regard to Iraq, we should be as careful getting out as we were careless in getting in. I think we can apply that principle here as well. I think, you know, there's a lot of anger out there. There's a lot of confusion. People want to see, you know, people punished. But again, I think if we want to do this productively in a way that really gets to how this could have happened, I think we really need to be prepared for it to take some time.
Well, you know, as we've often said, I mean, and others have said as well, I think this president tends to play chess while the rest of us may be playing checkers, you know, because people were screaming right away, right, when he said he's not going to prosecute the, you know, CIA agents. And I was like, wait a minute, you know, if you really want to get to the people that ordered this, you're right. You've got to go slowly and methodically.
And, and again, just to refer back to Abu Ghraib, what we saw there, I think, was a pretty disgraceful attempt to really get the people at the bottom and then just, you know, sweep the whole thing under the rug. And I think the process here is exactly the opposite. Rather than just have some small prosecutions and get the people at the bottom,
That's what I've been saying.
Taking their time and looking at the people who approved it at the very highest level.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we were saying, Matthew, here's the Bush administration caught now in another contradiction. How can they say these people went to prison, you know, for techniques that now have been shown that they ordered? How can they say it's illegal that they did it, but it's not illegal that we ordered it?
That's right, and I think it's also really revealing to look at a lot of conservative commentators who were just really, you know, outraged or whatever they pretended outraged at Abu Ghraib as long as we were prosecuting the people at the bottom. But now that it seems to have reached up to the White House and the Pentagon, they're a lot less enthusiastic about this.
Yes, I detect a extreme lack of enthusiasm on the right. for this. You know, I mean, that's, you know, the one thing we keep saying, Matthew, is they keep saying, oh, we have to look forward. Mitch McConnell yesterday, we don't want to look back. I mean, all crime happened in the past.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, you know, and I think it is part of reclaiming America's image in the world. You know, we've gotten into this whole debate about does it work or did, you know, the, what's his name, Dennis, do I have his name right? Blair.
Yeah. Yes.
Saying, you know, he sort of backed off that. He said, you know, some of these techniques did work, but then he backed off that. I mean, the point is, it doesn't. That's not even the debate. It's illegal, right?
Right. No, I think when we do discuss effectiveness, we do kind of seed some important ground. I mean, there are two questions, whether it is effective, and I think, as Dennis Blair said, even though he believes it did yield some information, it's unknown whether that information could have been yielded using other methods. I should say that a pretty strong consensus among actual interrogation and intelligence professionals believe that the best way to get actionable intelligence is through traditional, really non-coercive methods, building relationships with the detainee.
And Blair said yesterday, the bottom line is these techniques have hurt our image around the world. They damage the damage they've done to our interests far outweighed whatever benefit they gave us, and they are not essential.
On balance, there's really no question it has been hugely damaging.
Yeah, and he said it is not essential to our national security.
Right.
What does he know?
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, and obviously, you know, we talked about this report that, you know, a commission of experts did that, you know, that was basically the conclusion, too, that it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, several news accounts say that this is the, you know, the New York Times and among others say that this did not produce information that foiled terror plots.
Right. As I said, I mean, there is a pretty strong consensus among actual professionals that this does not work. I mean, we are getting into just kind of the area of just, you know, kind of vengeance and, and politically appealing arguments for punishing our enemies. And I find that very disturbing.
Matthew, let me ask the question of the hour. What the hell is Dick Cheney doing, do you think? I mean, he's admitting that he ordered. I mean, isn't he admitting that he ordered this stuff? But he's saying, but it worked, and it kept us safe. I mean,
yeah, I think he really understands that he is in some jeopardy now, and he's really kind of getting out there and trying to marshal political support. I mean, we should note. I mean, the idea of Dick Cheney coming out and saying, "Oh, let's release this information," is just absolutely bizarre, given his record as someone who just thrives on secrecy. So yeah, I think this shows us this complete reversal on the question of secrecy. Shows us how you know he realizes he's in some trouble.
Yeah, that was the biggest Scooby-Doo moment yesterday, wasn't it? I have always been for complete transparency. But you know, and he also seems completely immune to being caught in a total lie. He goes on national television and say, I ordered these memos to be declassified, and the CIA is like, no, you didn't.
Yeah, I suppose that's a talent, but
mind being caught on tape in a big fat lie.
Yeah, having absolutely no shame is, you know, it's a talent in politics, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it is amazing to me, isn't it to you, that we're even having this debate when, you know, we are America.
Right.
We don't torture. This is it's like we're having a debate on, you know, whether it works or not, or whether this is, you know, I mean, whether it's kept us safe or whatever. I mean, it's just, it's almost like to me he's saying, well, okay, I am a war criminal, but it's... I'm one that kept you safe, so let's just call it a day now.
Right, and I think that's really it's a good point as to keep in mind as this process goes on, is that, I mean, there's going to be a lot of attacks on President Obama and his administration for trying to delve into these issues, but we need to keep in mind that it was the Bush administration that got us here. The reason we need to do this now and have this conversation and go through this, what could be a very painful process, is because of the decisions they made.
Yes, well, at least President Bush left behind such a stellar economy and everything else in such good shape. All right. Matthew Duss, thank you so much for taking time for us. Please check back in with us on updates on this important topic, all right?
Thanks very much.
All right. There he goes. Matthew Duss from the Center for American Progress.
I think Sean Hannity would say non-coercive techniques are French and gay.
Well, then somebody needs to waterboard Sean Hannity.
That's weird. Jim is like, he's like psychic, because that's almost what Sean Hannity's going to say next.
What?
42 minutes after that.
You've got to be kidding me.
Right back with a teeny tiny right-wing world as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Hmm.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Okay, got it, Jim. I got your hate letter from Scott. Gee, I hope he's asked John McCain for an apology, too. Jim, please tell the world who you're referring to when you referenced five times the Japanese individual the U.S. executed for waterboarding Americans during World War II. Or maybe you can get your facts straight and then apologize for being wrong and not bothering to read your email.
That would be John McCain.
John McCain said that, too. So wait, should we just forward the same letter to John McCain?
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay.
He should apologize for
getting his facts wrong.
By the way, I did mention one guy who was Lieutenant Colonel Sumida, member of the Kenpei Tai, the Japanese secret police in Singapore.
Well, what was the name of the gentleman that wrote?
Scott.
Scott, suck it.
Dwayne in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you for accepting my call. Just have a simple question. Do you believe that there's a difference between terrorists and soldiers?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, me too. So why are we treating terrorists like soldiers?
Well, you're assuming that everyone who's been in our at Gitmo was a terrorist. We don't know that. A lot of them were shown to be innocent. They were never charged with anything.
Yes, we've released a lot of them, yes. Dwayne. Was it okay that we tortured them?
They might be terrorists now after we tortured them, but they weren't before.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to get into, is that the prevention is worth more than the fix. We all agree that 9/11 was bad. If we knew that 9/11 was going to happen before it happened...
They did.
They did not. You know what? I can't dotter into hypothetical land. This is what always happens with right-wingers. Yeah. It's just,
Superman and Aquaman had a fight on Mars, then...
Mm-hmm. Condoleezza Rice.
Yes, and the FAA gave the Bush administration, was it 52, 53 warnings? That
Presidential daily briefing.
Yes.
Bin Laden determined to...
Strike in the United States using airplanes.
Yeah.
Places like the World Trade Center.
I think that was in the presidential daily briefing, but that was a lot of other intelligence agencies around the world were giving us very specific information.
Nathan in Albuquerque, New Mexico, on torture. Hello, Nathan.
Hey, Steph. How are you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I actually went through SEER school in San Diego, and the big difference is, one, we sign a waiver. Mm-hmm. Second,
at least it's a nice sunny climate to go through that in. It could be worse.
Trust me, it's not exactly what it's all cracked up to be.
Yeah, it's not exactly Club Med.
The second thing is, they tell you over multiple dozens of times that you are not going to die, you mm-hmm. are going to survive this. Mm-hmm. The whole reason for SEER school is to teach you what to expect and how to mentally prepare yourself for the torture that we will be receiving from our enemies.
Right.
There's a huge difference between being in a roller coaster and being in a real car accident. You know you're going to survive mm-hmm. the roller coaster.
Well, that's not necessarily true either.
It depends on where you go. But for me, they broke my nose. They broke two of my fingers.
Oh, my God.
Three broken wrists. My face was all bloodied.
Oh.
But they tell you at every single time you are not going to die. And I will tell you this, that unfortunately, when you do this to your enemies, one, they're not going to want to actually turn themselves into you, and two, they will step up their efforts knowing that we do the same thing. It's our high morality as Americans that used to be emanated throughout the world, and the minute we showed that we do these things and then lied about them, it just destroyed our image.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got a letter from a guy who went through the SEER school, says the same thing, that they're told they're not going to be, not going to die, and that those who are abusing him will be in big trouble if they injure him, and that the training will be
Yeah, well, obviously
days.
A big it's part of torture is psychological.
Thing. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Britt Hume, who exactly is on his back now on the Burr Show.
Two of his top aides said on Sunday and Monday that there would be no prosecutions of either intelligence agents who relied on those legal memos or the Bush administration lawyers who wrote them. The pressure mounted. Overnight, presto changeo, as unambiguous a flip-flop as you'll ever see, raising anew the question of whether this president will ever buck his political base.
Look over here. Look away from the war criminals and the illegal torture. Look over here. It's a flip-flop. That's the important thing.
Listening to his base. How dare you listen to his base?
Of course he listens to his base.
What kind of president listens to a base? That's ridiculous.
That was our problem. Bush listened too much to his base.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, look, it's a flip-flop.
Look over there.
Yeah.
Look at there.
Yeah, that worked, Britt. Mike in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mom and the Mooks.
Hello, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to say, Dick Cheney is talking about everything about how this the situation
administration has actually helped us, and we've gathered information through basically what we've determined are illegal means. Usually, and I understand that he wouldn't get this because they don't pay attention to the rule of law, but stuff gathered fruit from the poison tree is usually thrown out of court.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep, absolutely. Another good legal point.
I think it's been pretty well established that I'm a big fat liar.
Yes.
I think it has. Mort Kondracki on the prepare.
Look, there is hysteria on the left about this, and it's not hysteria only over the alleged torture. What they want is they want the heads of Bush administration officials.
Yes.
They didn't get what they really wanted, which was impeachment of George Bush and Dick Cheney and all that. So now they're now they want their blood this way, and it really is hysteria. I mean, they and everybody in their
hysterical
their corner, including
the
New York Times editorial page, the Washington Post editorial page, for heaven's sakes, has completely forgotten what things were like on 9/12. You know, we were scared to death that there was going to be more attack.
You know, if there had been a Fox News, that they would have called the Nuremberg trials hysterical. Look,
that's right.
Don't stop looking
back.
No,
it's the past. Let's move on.
What's the matter with you? Okay, Bill O'Reilly, who knows a thing or two about torture, because he's a man, he's a real man.
Harsh interrogation methods approved by the president alone must be an option when an attack on America is likely. Mm. That's my point of view. Human lives are more important than the temporary discomfort
in the Constitution
of a captured terrorist. But the far left and much of the media disagree, and they often use smears to defend their point of view. If you support tough interrogation, you are a brutal human rights violator.
That's
what
saying.
The law says. But yes.
He excluded these alleged terrorists from the human race when he said that. He knows they're guilty because, in other words, never mind.
All right. Jeff in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
I'm fine. I'm just glad to have a president that can multitask like this man can. I mean, we had Bush administration who, with one event, bad as it was, turned everything into one assault on ineptitude. And now we got man in this and get, okay, you in agriculture, do agricultural stuff and get back to me. You don't have to be everybody singly involved in just one thing. So I'm just glad the man can do what he did.
Yep. Yes, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can keep America safe and retain our morals, as the president said yesterday.
What did Sean Hannity have to say about all this stuff?
Oh, interesting. You should ask.
You know, it's hard to keep track of where the president stands on the issues, given that his views seem to change so rapidly. Now, the matter of prosecuting former Bush administration officials is no exception. As late as Sunday, Rahm Emanuel was declaring that this is not a time for retribution. But lo and behold, Minister of Spin, Robert Gibbs, well, he came out singing a very different tune today.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
No.
Computer says
no. No. The president has always said that no one is above the law.
Poor little Sean with that teeny tiny little brain rattling around in that giant noggin.
He had Karl Rove on to talk about.
What they've essentially said is, if we have policy disagreements with our predecessors, what we're going to do is we're going to turn ourselves into the moral equivalent of a Latin American country run by colonels and mirrored sunglasses, and what we're going to do is prosecute systematically the previous administration or threaten prosecutions against the previous administration based on policy differences. Is that what we've come to in this country? That if we have a change of administration from one party to another, that we then use the tools of the government to go systematically after the policy disagreements that we have with the previous administration? Now, that may be fine in some little Latin American country that's run by, you know, the latest junta. It may be the way that they do things in Chicago, but that's not the way we do things here in America.
Yeah, Chicago's not in America.
Wow.
I'm sure our listeners in Chicago would beg to differ, which we have always said
is illegal.
Yeah, we think they shouldn't do illegal things. That's a minor little policy difference.
Yeah, exactly. Things that the Geneva Convention has said were illegal, things that we said were illegal when it was done to us in World War II. I see. That's a minor policy difference now.
But they want to turn the world upside down because Clinton got a bleep job.
Yes.
Yeah. Job. Oh, thank you.
All right. Mitch in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead, quick.
I think the president's doing the right thing. He's a politician, and he knows how this is going to play politically. You're going to have the torturer, our guys on one side and the accused terrorist on the other. Also, we have Democrats are implicated in this, and he's going to need their support in Congress for far more important things than this issue. So he's a superb politician. That's why he's in the White House, and that's why you're on a radio talk show.
Ah.
Huh?
Well, he told me.
Yeah.
Let me decipher that and tell you my thoughts on it when we continue. Also, Miss California defending her anti-gay comments as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Actor extraordinaire Jason Alexander coming up live in the studio in less than a half an hour.
That's right. He's directing a new play, and we'll hear about that.
Hey. Right. And whether there's going to be a Seinfeld movie. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Well, you've heard the breaking news, I think, by now. Mr. President?
With respect to those who formulated those legal decisions, I would say that that is going to be more of a decision for the Attorney General within the parameters of various laws, and I don't want to prejudge that.
All right. We will, by the way, someone has Twittered Chris LaBoy, which you can do at StephanieMiller.com as well.
Yes, Twitter.com/RadioGuyChris. JJ Outlaw tweets, did Karl Rove just suggest that the Geneva Convention is just a disagreement in policy?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he suggests the Obama administration is trying to prosecute the Bush administration over no minor policy differences.
Yeah.
This just in.
Oh, extra, some more breaking extra news from Jim Ward.
Extra.
A report from the McClatchy newspapers. The Bush administration put relentless pressure on interrogators to use harsh methods on detainees, in part to find evidence of cooperation between al-Qaeda and the late Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein's regime, according to a former senior U.S. intelligence official and former Army psychiatrist. Apparently, that Cheney and Defense Secretary Rumsfeld demanded that intelligence agencies and interrogators find evidence of an al-Qaeda-Iraq collaboration, which should not exist. That's why they tortured them 180 billion times. To get
interesting,
them to say,
Jim. So what you're saying is they used illegal techniques in order to get into their illegal war.
Justify an illegal war.
Which would almost make them seem like war criminals if one were...
Mm-hmm. That seems a little bit
illegal. I'm not a legal expert. It just seems like there's a lot of illegal in there. Keith, who is the smartest boy in class this morning, writes, Mama, on the torture works or not, many illegal endeavors work. If your goal is to get rid of someone, murder works. If your goal is to get some quick, easy money, robbery works. Uh-huh. Matter of fact, most illegal things work. So if your goal is to get someone to tell you what you want to hear, torture works.
If you want to burn a house down, Keith, arson works.
Yeah, that works.
Mm-hmm. It's very effective.
Keith is the smartest boy in class. Okay. More importantly, breaking beaver news from Julie, our official beaver reporter in Seattle. This is the headline, Beaver Baffler System faces a big test in Maryland.
We have baffled beavers?
Yes, in Maryland.
It's like confusing cat.
Mama, this highfalutin university invented beaver baffler system sounds pretty shaky to me. My money's on the beaver. the headline is, that's it, beaver, game on. Bob Short fights beaver.
Of course.
He fights
Don't
beaver.
Fight the beaver. The beaver always wins.
Yeah.
The beaver's been winning all this time, Short said. Beside the pond where his staff has battled beaver for 5 years. Enter the beaver baffle system.
What?
Exactly. You need an entire system to baffle a beaver?
Well, it's too soon to tell if the baffle system will delude the beaver. Short, his staff, and his bosses think they finally have the upper hand. They have the upper hand on the beaver.
Nice beaver.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Don't baffle the beaver.
It doesn't like being baffled.
Gosh, Beav. Okay, let's check some entertainment news, shall we? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our top story, the headline, Miss California defends herself on today's show. This from thesuperficial.com. Miss California Carrie Prejean, who claimed marriage should only be between a man and a woman during the Miss USA pageant with Perez Hilton as one of the judges, stopped by the Today Show where Matt Lauer gave her a chance to revise her answer. She said, the way I answered might have been offensive, but for me it was being biblically correct. Superficial.com writes, unfortunately for Miss Prejean, mixing various fabrics together is forbidden in the Book of Leviticus, which means her entire pageant gown is biblically incorrect. Sorry, but Jesus says I have to stone you. Smile.
And were there shrimp cocktails in the green room? In the green room?
I don't know. That could be a fun instead of the talent port.
Everybody must
the stoning. The stoning of contestants.
Yes, bikini stoning.
What do we have?
We have Miss California.
Miss California.
I'm here to ask to take out for my beliefs, which are crystal clear and totally easy to understand. I personally believe that U.S. Americans live in a great time when they can choose to have same-sex marriage or the opposite, but that some Americans don't have sex with opposites or sames, and the education system in my country are unable to do so as well, too. Some people out there in our nation think that marriage should be between a man and a woman, as in South Africa and the Iraq, such as also. Besides, should our marriage over here in the U.S. help the people in Iraq and Asian countries? Say it ain't so, Joe, and help the marriage of all of us in the future, which is biblically correct for my principles of opposite marriage and naps. Incidentally, besides, marriage between naps and people lead to palling around with biblicals and terrorist same sexes, which I believe in my country, tis of thee. And if you want more maps or opposite sex choices for education, I'll just have to dig some up and get them back to ya. In addition, also, we need opposite maps of South Africa again. And I stand by that completely, totally. In my America, from where I can see Russia on a map.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week.
No.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
What is your problem?
I don't know.
Are you having a brain-related event?
No, I'm drunk. Okay.
Oh, that's brain-related.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Brain-related in that I don't have many brain cells left. And the ones are currently pickled in Chardonnay.
Wait. What?
And finally, while many of her music contemporaries and A-list pals spend their time Twittering, Beyoncé has admitted she doesn't get it. When asked whether she was on Facebook, she replied, "Not really. I like to call people and have dinner." What? She's like from the olden days or something.
Wow. Like she said, last century or something.
Anyway, hey. She said, "I feel like I'm getting really old." I'm like, "What? I don't understand. Just call me. I don't get it."
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We have, who do we have? Oh,
Sir Nigel Tupthumper.
Yes.
Good day to you. I'm Sir Nigel Tupthumper, chief cook and bottle washer for the World Investigatory Committee. But thank God there are still some people with the brains God gave at Chafing Dish. It seems the contagion of Twitter has found pockets of resistance here and there, and perhaps the bird-braining of the people will not continue unabated or unopposed. The delectable Beyoncé Knowles, long one of my favorite examples of showbiz crumpet, has turned out to actually have something north of a bust line worth considering. She maintains that she doesn't understand Twitter, and at first hearing, I was convinced that she was that rare miracle, the functioning anencephalic. That's some boring kind of thing. But when it became clear that her battlement was with the grip it has on the time, imagination, and character of the people who constantly broadcast their every colonic occurrence, her place in my particular pantheon was assured. Who knew that one could have fantasies about a glamorous, beautiful, sexy pop star that actually included conversation? Conversation before, during, and after. I was so enchanted that I almost crapped myself and broadcast a tweet to that effect. But then I merely changed my underwear and was spared the embarrassment.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True. How do you spell that? Don't worry about it. There's a tile ad. You can link right to it there on
StephanieMiller.com.
And there's new content coming very shortly.
Ooh. How soon can we expect that?
End of this week, I believe.
Really?
Oh, my.
We'll see. Yay. I'll let you know. I'll give you an update.
My. Oh, speaking of StephanieMiller.com, check out the calendar section if you're here in L.A. Come join Mama for the ASPCA Wagon Walk. Mama and Max, my baby Max, yeah, we'll be leading the walk.
Max!
Hey, go become an ASPCA guardian, won't you, like Mama?
What does a guardian do?
It's you give a little, it's only $18 a month, and you can save lots and lots of critters.
Aww.
Yes. All right. So, speaking of the Miss California controversy, former Miss USA Shanna Mokler, is that her name?
I believe so.
Something.
I think it's Mokler.
Mokler? She said Miss California did not lose because of her answer. However, Perez Hilton has made it very clear that she did not get a good score from him. That comes as a big shock.
Don't they throw out the lowest and the highest? Or the
I Olympics? Don't know. Hilton's score could have made the difference between first and second place. They were saying she had it in the bag before the that answer.
Oh.
Miss Vermont, USA, meanwhile, says she was shocked and disagrees with Miss California. She said everyone has a right to their own actions, but I totally disagree with Carrie. I have a very different perspective on gay marriage, and I would never have said what she said. You go, pageant girl.
What the hell was someone like Perez Hilton doing judging something like this anyway?
Yeah, that seems odd.
Yeah, it seems weird to have a gay man at a pageant. No, has that ever happened?
I mean, he's nothing but a snarky, childish blogger.
Please don't get Perez Hilton mad at me.
Well, I mean,
please.
All right, he was really, really childish.
I don't know, what were you thinking of what happened?
All right. Here's the most disappointing entertainment news I've heard in quite some time. A federal judge denied permission for Governor Blagojevich to go beyond that reality show.
Damn it!
On, what is that, the help I'm a celebrity?
I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Oh, he couldn't. They would have put rats in his pants and made him eat bugs and I don't know.
Whatever!
They would have shaved his hair.
Oh. They had to sit in a tank full of leeches on the first one, and oh.
What?
But of course he has lawyers, so that's the same thing. He'll sit in Chicago in a tank full of leeches instead.
Yeah.
Prosecutors voice fears that he might flee if allowed to go to Costa Rica, noting that he faces 25 to 30 years in prison. NBC said they had been willing to pay for two security guards to watch Blagojevich around the clock.
Help, I'm a celebrity. Get me out of the country. Get me out anywhere. I don't care.
But the prosecutor noted such personal monitors would have no authority to arrest him. Yeah, they'd be like mall cops or, or something. So I think that probably
was segways.
Speaking of reality shows, who knew there was more Kardashian sisters?
There are lesser Kardashians, yes.
They are children of a lesser Kardashian.
Uh-huh.
They've gotten a reality spinoff, Khloe and Kourtney Kardashian.
I had no idea.
They're getting their own reality show after the success of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
How was that show a success? Can someone please explain to me?
I don't know. I was trapped in the Larry King green room with a whole gaggle of Kardashians.
And do they all have big asses or just Kim?
Shush.
What? That's what she's known for.
The show is tentatively titled Kourtney and Khloe in Miami.
Oh, my debut on the God.
E-Network. Okay, that's, I don't know. What if a lesser Kardashian married a lesser Baldwin? Is there
like
something lower than a D-list celebrity?
Like a Khloe marries a Billy?
Something.
Oh, yikes.
That's like some sort of risky genetic splicing that I wouldn't even want to...
Dr. Moreau kind of thing.
Yeah, and those would be some really hairy kids.
Steve in Chicago on torture. Hi, Steve.
How you doing, Steve?
Good.
Kudos to you, Jim.
Yeah.
But listen, you have to understand this. We had a president that averaged a C in college, right? We now have a president who's a professor.
Yeah.
Okay? So I knew this all the time. They wasn't going to get away with it.
Yep.
The guy is political savvy. Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. I think he should have started the answer yesterday with ring the bell, sucker schools in.
Right. This is how you teach your students. First he sends Eric out there to say, okay, torture is illegal. Then he turns around and he gives America the memo. And America is going to be outcry, right?
Yep.
Then he says, oh, we're not going to prosecute anybody. We're going to look forward. Perfect. The fox comes out his hole. Which is the first fox? Dick Cheney jumps on TV.
Yep.
I've been vindicated. And he pulls the rug out.
Robert Gibbs yesterday.
Huh?
What? Okay, Robert Gibbs, what he said yesterday when we continue 20 minutes after the hour, that and Jason Alexander live in the studio as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, the moment that made my heart sing yesterday. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary.
And the president believes that nobody in the country is above the rule of law.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I think it's been pretty well established that I am above the rule of law.
No. No, it hasn't, Dick.
Computer says no.
The president said the yesterday, I'm sure that it sometimes seems as if it means we're operating with one hand tied behind our back, or that those who would argue for a higher standard are naive. I understand that. You know, I watch the cable shows once in a while. That means he sees...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes. But
he knows you exist.
He said, but what makes the United States special and what makes you special is precisely the fact that we are willing to uphold our values and our ideals even when it's hard, not just when it's easy. The president yesterday.
The OLC memos that were released reflected, in my view, us losing our moral bearings. That's why I've discontinued those enhanced interrogation programs. For those who carried out some of these operations within the four corners of legal opinions or guidance that had been provided from the White House, I do not think it's appropriate for them to be prosecuted.
I will tell you what will be all over Fox tonight is this Admiral Blair. This will be a whole big conspiracy theory, won't it, Chris?
Yeah, it will.
So he had released a memo, I guess, an Obama critic released this memo in which he said he thought some of the techniques worked. If you recall, when he had been nominated for his position, he said, I believe strongly torture is not moral, legal, or effective, which is essentially what he said last night. He backpedaled from what he said in the memo. He said, you know, it's impossible to know what worked and what didn't. The important thing is it's illegal and it hurts our image in the world and whatever.
And apparently they were using it to try to establish a link between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein, which did not exist.
Yes.
Which is why they had to torture them 147 gajillion times.
That might be the biggest breaking news, is that they were using the illegal techniques to start the illegal war, you see.
Oh, boy.
Joe Lieberman, by the way, is taking
Joe
issue.
Joe Lieberman, he hasn't been in the news for a while.
Yeah, I know. You know how he's getting in the news? Saying that releasing the torture memo helps our enemies and it was a bad idea.
Does he say why?
No, don't speak.
Please.
Don't
does he
speak.
Say why
don't
it helps our enemies when this information has already been out there in the public? Thanks to the Bush administration who leaked the information?
And perhaps he's forgotten one other thing, Chris, and that is that he's the president's biatch.
Yeah.
Hush, Joe. All right, let's go to David in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. How are we doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I was just saying, you know, the whole torture debate, that thing died. It's dead. It died in World War II. We know it's illegal. It's wrong. And we don't need to do that anyway. I mean, we have intelligence. We have, I mean, my dog has a chip so I can track it. Why can't we do the same thing to these people? I mean, if we have a problem with intelligence not having enough personnel or agents to track, 1,000 terrorists around the world, then maybe we should hire more intelligent people and track them, watch them. That's why we have satellites, that's why we have scopes, that's why we have vehicles. And I mean, why do we need to torture? Just follow them, watch them.
Yep, there you go. Microchips, there's an idea. Okay.
So they would know that it was implanted. They'd know how to get it out, unlike your dog.
Bill, they have opposable thumbs.
Yeah.
Bill in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
What my thought is that I'm hearing people say that it is legal and acceptable to waterboard for a country to get information. Well, there's a situation right now where Iran is holding an American male reporter.
Yes.
Yep.
They consider to be a spy. So I would like to hear these same people, from whether they be lay people or right up to the politicians on the right who are saying this, would they come out and say that it would be legal and acceptable for Iran to waterboard this woman?
Yep, absolutely. Very good point. Exactly. Mm-hmm. 28 minutes after the hour, actor extraordinaire Jason Alexander live in the studio with us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You,
Stephanie Miller.
I hope that life has treated you better than time has.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I wonder if this will annoy him. Should we just turn it down? Who's there, Chris?
It's Jason Alexander.
Jason!
Darling.
I didn't know you were coming. How are you? Jason Alexander.
Listen, I was in the neighborhood because Burbank entices me like no place else.
And I thought it was me. How are you, sir?
I'm well. And you look charming and lovely and bright and chipper. And God bless you.
Thank you, Jason. I've got to get your reaction to the, because you're a big political guy, your reaction to the breaking torture news today.
Am I wrong to be excited?
No, you're not wrong.
Is it bad?
Is there a little vengeance in it? Yes.
It's not. Actually, it's not vengeance to me. This goes back to me, all the way back to Nixon, where I go, you know, when Ford died recently, my friends and I got into the big debate about, you know, Ford, probably a decent guy. He's probably a decent guy. But was the pardon the right thing to do? Nobody got held accountable.
Right.
Nixon went for it. And I think it just started this chain reaction of, listen, it's I just saw Doubt the other day. And, you know, the big Nixon line, if the president does it, it is legal. Well, you know, no, it's not. I didn't see that in the Constitution.
We just played Karl Rove saying that they're trying to prosecute the Bush administration over a minor policy difference.
It's really just a difference of opinion is all it is.
Yes, Karl Rove, take a listen.
What they've essentially said is, if we have policy disagreements with our predecessors, what we're going to do is we're going to turn ourselves into the moral equivalent of a Latin American country run by colonels and mirrored sunglasses, and what we're going to do is prosecute systematically the previous administration or threaten prosecutions against the previous administration based on policy differences. Is that what we've come to in this country? That if we have a change of administration from one party to another, that we then use the tools of the government to go systematically after the policy disagreements that we have with the previous administration? Now, that may be fine in some little Latin American country that's run by, you know, the latest junta. It may be the way that they do things in Chicago, but that's not the way we do things
Chicago.
Here in America.
I see. Yeah. Chicago, not part of America.
Show this prehistoric bitch how we do things downtown. he's so cuddly.
Is that what this country has come to, that someone that should be in prison for treason himself is opening his big gap on Fox News?
Well, I think he has a standard spot there, doesn't he? He's got his own little salary going. Yeah, he's a cuddly little guy, Carl. He's not helping us bald guys at all. The reputation is not going well. Yeah, policy difference. It's a policy difference. Yeah. That's all it is.
That the Geneva Convention says is illegal, but that's a minor policy disagreement.
If you're going to be a stickler on every little detail, we're not going to have progress.
This is my other whole argument I love, is the whole, we need to look forward. Look, every crime happened in the past. Right?
Yeah.
With the exception, you're a movie guy, with the exception of Minority Report. If
exactly.
we could prosecute crime in the future, we
would absolutely do that.
But you need Tom Cruise.
More than you can ever know.
Let's go to Tim in Spokane. You're on with Jason Alexander on Karl Rove's comments. Hey, Tim.
How you doing? Hey, I heard those comments, and I just now picked my job off the floor. I mean, I wouldn't have been out of place in the Nuremberg trial. Didn't Rudolph House try to pull that same thing?
Yeah.
The policy difference. I don't know why you guys are trying.
You know, Tim, my dad was an assistant prosecutor, and he actually got to interrogate Goering. And so I would love for him to be alive to say, Dad, did that strike you as anything? Like what Goering said?
Traffic ticket. I'm going to try that. I don't know why you think I shouldn't park there. It's just a policy difference.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Darren in Palm Desert. You're on with Jason Alexander, too. Hello, Darren.
Good morning. Captain Obvious here. I know. I can count on one hand the number of Republicans that I've run across in my life that actually were easy to talk to, understood, and we could agree to disagree. I just wanted to point out, no matter what they do, they justify it, and they're always right in whatever they say they're doing, and they always contradict the left with, they're wrong, we're right. Doesn't matter what's going on. I just wanted to throw that out there.
That's what I was saying. Am I wrong, or did Dick Cheney, is he essentially said, yes, I ordered this, but it worked, and so it's okay if it's illegal.
Well, it's again, if the vice president does it, then it's it's illegal.
He's saying his argument is, it kept us safe, so it's okay.
And
one time.
You got to love the advocates lining up on their side. Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, you know, pretty soon Chuckles the Clown.
Ari Fleischer is lined up.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. I can't, you know, there's a lot of arguments I can get into with my friends on the right.
Yeah.
And we can have rational conversations, and I can go, well, you know, I see your point there. This one I don't get.
I know.
Even if you said to me, you know what, at the end of the day, the damn thing works. We torture them. We get the right stuff. You know, and I'd go, well, you know, maybe under certain. But the evidence is, the empirical evidence is, it doesn't even work.
Yeah, yeah. So well, that's the whole thing about waterboarding. If it works, why would you have to do 183 times in
really?
One month?
You know what?
That's how well it works.
I once had someone splash water at me when I had a little cough, and I confessed right away. I don't even need, you don't have to put me upside down, no towel, once.
All right, let's get to the more important breaking news in entertainment. Julia Louis-Dreyfus wants a Seinfeld movie. What is there? Is this?
She does.
What is there such a thing in the works?
My God Almighty! If Julia wants it, then we all better fall into line.
We know that what Julia Louis-Dreyfus wants,
that's
she gets.
Right.
In
she's the only one of us working, for God's sake. A Seinfeld movie? I didn't know Julia had said that.
She said she is keen to do a movie adaptation of the show. I don't know if she was kidding or not. She told reporters, "You get the financing together, and I'll work on the script."
Yeah, well, that's what she's keen about. Yeah.
She's keen on the money.
Yeah.
Has anybody asked Seinfeld? I mean,
she already has an idea for that. Elaine is just getting out of prison, so I don't know what happened in the intervening years.
No, really? That's her big idea? We talked about that for... please. Okay. I love you, Julia. You know that. We always have an argument on who came up with the Rolling Stone cover for The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
I say it's me. She says it's her. She's wrong, and I go along with it. The Seinfeld movie. No. You know, they broke the story. We're
Curb
doing
Your Enthusiasm,
Curb, right?
Yes.
We're doing a run of episodes on Curb, which
all of you guys
center around all of us, the notion of a Seinfeld reunion episode.
Oh, cool.
And I think that's going well. You know, it's ad-lib, so I don't know what actually is going to wind up in the final shows.
Yeah.
The movie, I think my fear is that what could we do that would be good enough? I mean, people are probably...
That's Sex in the City can do it. You can do it.
Yes, but I'd have to
wear... In fact, there you go. Wear the same outfits.
Hats. Yes. I'd have to wear the hats and the shoes.
Some Manolo Blahnik.
And I would no doubt be, you know, the one that is always having sex. And, you know,
you're running down the streets of New York and Manolo Blahnik's with someone else's ride.
And it could go. Listen, you know, Julia's right. If the financing's there... The script is irrelevant.
Listen. Yeah. So you, Jerry Seinfeld, Michael Richards, and Julia are all going to be on the upcoming season of Larry David's series. But
correct.
All on the same show, or I don't get it, in a
yes,
series?
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, I don't want to give away too much, but Larry has essentially promised to make, to HBO, to NBC, to make a remake of the Seinfeld show without anyone's advocacy except his own, and then he has to go put this together, and of course, things don't go too
so are you in a series of Curbs, or all of you are all in one episode?
I think we're all in several, and I think we are all simultaneously in at least one.
Oh, I'm not going to miss one of those.
So it's a storyline that goes throughout the entire season,
basically. It's an arc.
Okay.
Pretty big arc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a barometer of my life. That's the most exciting thing I've heard in I don't know how long.
You don't get out much.
I have got to go to the liquor barn immediately and stock up on the box wine.
Stock up, right, exactly.
All right. Chris in Los Angeles on Carl Rove. You're on with Jason. Hey, Chris.
Hi. You know, I heard him comment that, you know, we don't prosecute over policy differences. What did the Republicans do to Clinton in the 90s?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that actually was, I don't think that was a policy difference. I think everyone likes jobs, don't you?
Listen, let's take a poll of the room.
He said poll. Okay. I have successfully distracted Jason Alexander, so he hasn't even talked about his play here in Los Angeles
please.
He's directing, but we will do that next. And much more of his political thoughts and pop culture thoughts and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I've never heard such a bunch of penny any dime a dozen two-bit half-wits exaggerating their enemies and bellyaching over the tiniest, stupidest personal problem.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. We are joined live by Jason Alexander.
Hooray!
Actor extraordinaire, director extraordinaire.
God bless you.
You are directing a play here. Are you going to put Susan Boyle in it? And if so, why not?
I don't think we can afford her anymore.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of eyebrow to get onto a stage. But it's, God bless her heart.
That is a unibrow, but whoa, wow. That is the most watched YouTube video. Susan Boyle, the singer on the British
inauguration
Simon
speech?
Cowell show.
Unbelievable.
I know.
I'm going to gain a few pounds. I'm going to put my hair out like Larry Fine.
Be man enough to admit. Did you cry? Did you cry?
I was very moved by it. I really was.
I cried multiple times.
When you see someone who's had a rather unordinary life do something extraordinary, it gives you hope.
It may have touched more of a chord with me, a story about a broken-down 47-year-old woman who's all of her dreams have died.
What do you mean 47? Right. You're not 47.
Shush. Yes, I am, actually. For once, we have actually stated my actual age on the air.
So you're the same age as Susan Boyle?
And I had a unibrow. So, listen, the only difference is all of my dreams have died.
Chris, put on the karaoke of Les Mis. Let's see what she's got.
Yeah.
I dreamed a dream. So now, you're a song and dance man yourself.
I am.
You are directing The Fantastics.
I am.
Here's a fun fact for you. That's the first Broadway show I ever saw.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's the oldest musical running continuously ever. It's over.
That's a joke about me being old.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
It is older than you.
I saw it when I was, like, in high school or something in New York.
A mere wisp of a girl, yes, indeed. Yeah, it's a pretty great little show. It's a simple, romantic, magical, sweet, dear, funny.
Right.
Great songs. A couple of them broke out in the day. You know,
Eric McCormick from Will and Grace, isn't it?
Yes! And not gay.
Yes.
How about that?
Lucas, am I saying the name right?
Rabio.
From a High School Musical.
High School Musical, yeah.
That's what all the kids are watching.
Yep.
Okay. and then Broadway star and Tony nominee Harry Groener. Am I saying that correctly?
You are.
What
indeed.
A cast
Look
you have.
Look at you. It's a wonderful cast. And
very cool.
And it's at UCLA.
We do our shows at the Froude Theater. It's spelled Freud, but it's pronounced Froude because they had a falling out. It's like Frankenstein. it's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And yes, I think we're there. I think the show runs like May 6th or 7th through the 17th or something like that.
And how might we get tickets to
It's very easy. Our company's called Reprise, R-E-P-R-I-S-E. You go to reprise.org, and you can have more information than you ever want. And, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And we have a link to it at stephaniemiller.com.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And by the way, Jason, I can help you with that hump.
Thank you. What hump?
Exactly. So if you go to stephaniemiller.com, there's a link there. That'll be the easiest way to find it at the
Froude.
At the Froude.
Perhaps I could help you with that hump.
Okay.
What hump?
All right. So you are
my goal.
You are big into politics, as we all know. A lot of people have speculated whether you're going to run for office someday.
Well, I'll run for sure. Yeah. No.
I haven't been able to beat that out of you yet.
Seeing how my buddy Al Franken has been treated, I think I. My God. Let's see. Al is in his 50s now, I believe.
Yes.
I think by the time he's 90, we might get him to actually
he might
sit
be seated.
In a Senate seat. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So the big news out here in California, of course, is the gubernatorial race. So Gavin Newsom has formally announced his candidacy for...
Well, God bless us one and all.
Exactly. And you've worked with a lot of pretty actors. He's the prettiest man I've ever seen in person. He's disturbingly pretty.
Well, you know what? I hear running mate.
So let's see. Yeah, he used YouTube and Twitter and Facebook because, you know, he's only 41. That's
right.
What the kids are doing.
And he can do that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how to. When I Twitter, my thumbs move. I don't know what that means.
So who do you like so far? And what they're speculating so far is could be Jerry Brown, John Garamendi, Antonio Villaraigosa, and then Dianne Feinstein is the big one that
they
don't know yet.
I can't say Antonio Villaraigosa. So I can't.
Villaraigosa.
Yeah, I can't do that because I can't pronounce his name.
It's like ruffles have ridges.
I can't do it. Jerry Brown, listen, I've always liked Jerry Brown. I think the ship may have sailed on Jerry Brown. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, there's not anybody in it yet that I go, whippee!
Dianne Feinstein is way ahead in the poll so far. Newsom said if she gets in soon, then he would probably get out. So
I think we would miss her in D.C., though.
Yeah.
I really do.
Particularly, she needs to do some work on these war criminals in the Bush administration, the torture thing. You stay where
she
you are.
She has seniority on a lot of very important committees.
Yeah, she really does.
And so I think California would lose a lot by having her come back here. And run
by the
state.
Way, here's a polling fun fact. A CNN poll, nearly 7 in 10. That's almost 70%, Jason.
Thank you.
Said they think waterboarding is torture.
Oh, well, you know, you can't go by the people.
What do they know?
What do they know, really?
Bob in San Francisco on torture. You're on with Jason Alexander. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, really. What do we know? Hell.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point I wanted to bring up is that through all this torture thing, the one thing that I haven't heard is anyone mention who these guys were that were being tortured. It's assumed right down the line that all of them were guilty of something. A lot of them were released with no charges.
Yeah, thank
None
you.
Of them went to before a court judge. And this sheikh, fine, he's probably guilty, and okay, they tortured him, and in principle, that's wrong. What bothers me is some of these guys were cab drivers walking home who some GI, 18-year-old, saw him, and he looked at him funny. He goes to Abu Ghraib, or he goes to Guantanamo Bay, and he's tortured.
Right. And by the way, Bob, I don't think any of us, you know, being honest, can really admit the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, 183 times in 1 month he was waterboarded. This was revenge. This wasn't, somebody mentioned the other day, you could get the Al Jazeera transcript and get all the exact same information. Well, he admitted to all of it.
It wasn't working. I mean, if they had to do it that many times, how effective was it?
Right. Well, and like I say, he had already admitted to all of it. We weren't getting any new information.
Yeah, they're just getting back at him. Yep. You know, it's just revenge. That's bad.
Yep, exactly. All right, honey.
At 183, when they come into your cell, you know, for number 180.
Yeah.
Are you over it already? Oh, come on. Again,
oh, come
really?
On.
I'm watching a show here. Isn't it, if someone's, you know, the same torture, isn't the torture all about the unexpected? You don't know what's going to happen.
Anything at 183 times loses
it. It's too much. It's too much. They could have had sex with him 183 times. He go, not today.
You're married, aren't you? Hasn't your wife brought up something you did
and
wrong,
you know,
like,
what?
At least 183
already.
Times?
It is. You're absolutely right.
And
perfect
by the,
analogy.
You know,
thank you, honey. Hope
by
you're
150,
listening.
You're like, I know. Tell him I did the thing.
Again? Oh, come on. Again? Jeez.
And she thinks every time it will have an effect on you. That you will
right.
be like, now he'll understand how wrong what he did was.
That's right. I'm not going to break. I'm not
and
that
meanwhile,
easy.
Meanwhile, you've already activated that husband hearing blocking. La, 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 la. You are talking. I'm not listening. What did you make of Miss California and her...
Now, I got to tell you, I've been in rehearsal, so I haven't heard the actual remarks. What did she say? Is it delicious and yummy?
Chris will try to go find it for you. Well, first of all, she is a young Sarah Palin. A bunch of word salad that kind of jumbled around.
Are you insinuating that Sarah is a little older than a young Sarah Palin?
She
still looks sprightly to me.
It was a little bit word salad-y, a little jumbly, a little incomprehensible both legally and morally, however.
Really, really unusual for a beauty pageant contestant.
But what you got out of it is she's not so much for the gay folk
really?
Getting married. No, what's her name, Chris? Prigine.
Carrie Prigine.
Carrie Prigine.
Oh, well, I smell French.
Miss California. Chris is locating it as we speak, but she basically said she's, and they think she may have lost the pageant over. Here it is.
Well, I think it's great that Americans are able to choose one or the other. We live in a land that you can choose same-sex marriage or opposite marriage. And you know what? In my country and in my family, I think that I believe that a marriage should be between a man and a woman. No offense to anybody out there, but that's how I was raised, and that's how I think that it should be between a man and a woman. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you know, you're sweet. You know, listen, my guess is, here's the tech you didn't think I was going to go to.
Okay.
My guess is her belief in that, and I didn't think that was terribly offensive as these things go.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably coming from a religious conviction, and I can't argue with those people.
Yeah.
But I just want to get it, you know, but for the people that have that religious conviction, I want to go, there's two parts.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
The other part's the contract. You can't
legal.
Keep contracts from people. We have a thing called the Constitution.
Right.
You can't do
Constitution
that.
Rights, blah, blah.
And, you know, so it's a specious argument to get into the, well, honey, your church.
Right. You're absolutely right. You can't argue with, I try not to either. If you really believe that, I disagree with you, but that's what you believe. But you're right. It should have nothing to do with the law and the Constitution and protection of civil rights.
She sounds sweet and she sounds cute, and I'm not going to go against her.
And
I'd
a little
like
legally confused, because apparently gay marriage is legal everywhere, according to her.
Yeah, everyone.
Yeah, you can choose.
In her country and in her family.
Yeah.
Which are, I guess, that is synonymous.
Within
her house, that is the United States of her.
In the United States of me,
right.
That's what's legal.
I just don't get why a question like that was asked at a beauty pageant anyway.
Because
they
ask hot topics.
Oh, because they're looking for the YouTube clip.
Yeah. Did you see John McCain's campaign manager said Republicans should support same-sex marriage? Oh, dear God.
Well, conservatives are all for getting the government out of people's lives, or so they say. So, you know, gay marriage should be something they should be rallying for.
Yes. Schmidt told a group of log cabin Republicans that Republicans need to offer.
That's gay right there.
How gay is that?
Where do gay men go when they have to hide a log cabin?
But he made a good point to them. He said the Republicans should offer support for same-sex marriage on the basis of the party's foundational platform that the government should stay out of private lives. which is what Goldwater said. And
look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Someone who actually read the pamphlet.
Yes. Barry Goldwater, whose grandson is gay. You remember his famous quote. Hillary Clinton was using it on the campaign trail about gays in the military. You don't have to be straight. You just have to shoot straight.
That's right.
Anyway, he said people are turned off in large measure by what they see as intolerance coming out of the party. He says same-sex marriage has far more supporters among young voters than it does opponents.
Yeah.
Because Republicans had basically lost every demographic now.
Yeah.
The young Hispanics,
it's a
same people.
Season. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
If we want the reality community, it's all, they're just, it's hard.
Exactly. It's hard. How can we find out all things Jason Alexander?
Oh, just come back. You know what? I'm always on reprise.org. Come see me there and write to me, care of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Jason Alexander.
Thank you, Stephanie Miller.
That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Jim Ward, Chris Lavoie, and Rebecca Baker. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.